I'm going to read the scripture, and then I'll begin to walk through some of this and pull out some truths that I feel like the Lord wants us to hear tonight. I've felt this way for 2 weeks now. So let me read the text to you, and then we'll walk through it together. Beginning in verse 1, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and send Timothy, our brother and minister of God, our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you, to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, as you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now, when Timothy came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and love, that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith, for now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you." I will stop there. Last week we were looking at, we gleaned some truths about faith in the context of affliction. Do y'all remember that? That when you see faith working in tribulation, faith working in affliction, there was just some general truths that we brought out regarding the relationship of tribulation or pain or whatever and faith. And so we looked at some of that and discussed it. And so I think most of us last week, the way we approached this text, we really had an understanding, because you and I are familiar with affliction. We've dealt with it, some more than others, but we've been afflicted, we've been in tribulation, we've experienced it at some time in life, and we've felt many of the truths that we've seen. We've felt the impact it has on our faith, sometimes good, sometimes not good, all depending on how we respond. But so last week we just gleaned and brought forth six truths regarding faith in tribulation. Now what I want to do tonight is glean six more truths about ministering to people's faith in tribulation. Okay, so last time we kind of looked at our faith in the midst of our tribulation. Now we're looking at ministering to other people's faith in the midst of tribulation. Does that make sense? You with me? So I just want to glean a few truths from this text. Now, there's a lot we could say about how to minister to somebody in tribulation regarding their faith, but I'm just gleaning from this text, okay? So I want to pull out six truths on ministering to those who are going through tribulation, ministering to their faith. And so we're going to do this. Like I said, I don't think it'll take long. It's just going to be simple, shallow, but it's something that you and I need to hear. Because I promise you this, you're going to get all the opportunity you want to minister to somebody's faith in tribulation in days to come. And God is getting people ready. One reason why we're looking at this tonight is because God is equipping you and I to be able to minister to people's faith in the midst of their affliction. Somebody's got to, right? Somebody's got to. And how can you if you're not equipped to? If it don't even cross your mind, how are you going to be the one that's going to edify somebody's faith in affliction? Because again, affliction's coming. It's already here, and it ain't going nowhere. It's coming. There's going to be some tribulation. There's going to be some affliction, and there's going to be some people's faith that is being tempted and tested. And so God is equipping you and I to be able to minister to people's faith in the midst of tribulation. Number one, I'm just going to dive right into it. Number one, you're going to have to carry somebody's weight. You're going to have to help carry somebody's weight. One way we edify faith in affliction is to help carry some weight for a season. Now, I want to deal with this point because we've already seen this point over and over, and I'm going to make it again, and this is the last time you're going to hear me say this regarding this text. Look at verse number 2. I sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you. Remember that? Establish. Remember, we've said it two Wednesdays now. What does that mean? It means to prop up, right? I use the idea that the word carries the idea, when I talked to Rooster the first time we mentioned it, of tying up a plant until it gets strong enough to support itself. One way we minister to people's faith in their hard times is we've got to help carry some weight. Amen? There's going to be times the church has got to go help carry some weight. Now, I can say that, and practically what that means, you and I are going to have to figure that out when we get there. I've seen people's faith edified in the midst of their affliction through this church by going and paying their light bills for them when they couldn't. I've seen not only it turn power on, but I've seen faith begin to come alive. I've seen so many times through ministry. Have you ever had somebody come to you in the midst of affliction, in the midst of a hard time, and they got right in there with you and helped you in the area of your weakness, in the area of your weakness, whatever area that is weakening your faith, in that moment of weakness, in the midst of your tribulation, they come and begin to hold up some weight. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I've had people financially help hold up some weight when that was an area of weakness in the midst of my tribulation. And like I said, it didn't just solve a financial problem. It began to do something in me spiritually because I understood it wasn't the monetary value that I valued the most. It was rather what I saw in them, what Jesus was doing in them, that I began to connect with, and it began to awaken my faith. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I've been in a time of weakness that felt like loneliness in my tribulation. And somebody just come to my side and begin to be there for me. I'd got so lonely that I griped about being lonely, yet I wanted to remain lonely. I would push people away and then gripe about being lonely. Has anybody ever been that way? But yet they came and they began to support some weight, and not only did it get me out of that, it began to awaken my faith. One thing that we're going to have to do is we're going to have to help carry some weight. We're going to have to get in that affliction and help prop them up and help carry some weight. Paul sent Timothy. He said, Timothy, go down there, check out their faith. If it's weak, I need you to help establish it again. You're going to have to, it may not be easy, Timothy, but you're going to help carry some weight. And that's exactly what they did. So number one thing we do in ministry, it just ain't always as easy. Sometimes being really spiritual comes out practically. You know what I mean? Sometimes the greatest spiritual ministry to somebody in their faith, it ain't always with spiritual sounding prayers and spiritual sounding words. It ain't always like that. Sometimes it comes out through some of the most spiritual people. It comes out through practicality and the manifestation of love and service, right? So, how many of you know that Jesus, he could have shown his strength and shown his glory. He could have displayed his love a bunch of ways, but he did it through servitude. He did it through servitude. He came, what did we say Sunday? He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. The greatest spiritual existence there is manifested through servitude. So we got to come in and help carry each other's weight. And by doing that, it edifies faith. Too much, the church has just said, I'm praying for you. Get better soon. And didn't do a thing to help them. too long. Churches have did things like that. So number one, we strengthen it by carrying each other's weight. Sometimes we got to get in there and carry each other's weight. Prop each other up. Number two, encourage. This is simple stuff, but we got to be encouraging, right? Listen to what Paul is saying in verse 7. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all your affliction and distress by your faith. Listen to what he said. He comes to them and he says, I know you're going through a hard time, but who you are, your faith in the midst of your problem, you are comforting me. I'm finding comfort in what I'm seeing in you. What's he doing? He's encouraging them. He's encouraging. Have you ever been going through a hard time and look, you're beginning to doubt yourself and you know what I'm talking about? Your faith, you've got it, but you can feel it's being tested and there's temptation and then all of a sudden somebody comes by and they say to you, I'm glad, I'm proud that you are still serving the Lord in the midst of this. I'm over here, ain't feeling like I'm doing that good of a job at all. And yet they become and say, I see the Lord's hand upon you, and I see that you love him. And they're seeing something that I'm having a hard time seeing in myself. And their words of encouragement is beginning to activate my faith. My faith that is under pressure, my faith that's taking a beat and it's getting tested, and my faith that is under the weather, just words of encouragement can help edify and awaken faith. Look at verse 8. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. He says, look, I see your faith. Your faith is bringing comfort to me. And he follows that up and he said, and we live if we stand fast. Do you know what he's doing? He's exhorting them. He's encouraging them. You've got it. You've got it. And what you've got is benefit me. It's a blessing to me. And now you keep on going and you stand your ground and you don't be moved. You hear Paul? He's encouraging them. Look at verse 9. And for what thanks can we render again for you for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God? He says, I take joy in what God is doing in you and through you. I'm experiencing joy. Do you know how encouraging that would be? I don't know if anybody knows. I can see myself. You're talking about me? You're getting joy from my faith. I'm comforting you. I feel like I'm just trying to overcome this struggle, and you're telling me how that it's impacting you. It never crossed my mind that any way at all that I would be helping you when I'm feeling what I'm feeling. Do you hear what I'm saying? It is encouraging sometimes when you go to people and you begin to tell them and exhort them to stand fast, to keep going. I see the Lord in you. I see what God is doing, and it's helping me. You can't quit now because you're helping me. You can't stop in the midst of your battle because you ain't just going to overcome. You're beginning to cause me to overcome and her to get better and him to get better. You understand what I'm saying? We got to go and encourage. And I'm not saying fill them with a load of bull. I'm saying you got to be spiritually connected enough that you really do find joy in somebody else's faith in the midst of tribulation. You got to be spiritual enough and connected enough to know, to really encounter that when somebody else is there operating in faith in our Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of a hard time, that it is valuable to you, that it means something to you. Right? It's got to mean something to us. It has to mean something to us. Watched a ball game. I didn't watch it. I followed it. I didn't have access to watch it, but I followed a play-by-play. And this team, and it happens to be one of my favorite teams, and it is a basketball game, and they were down. The team's going through a lot of drama, and this guy just comes back off a complete Achilles tear. And he's not only did he tear his Achilles, he also had a broke foot in a spot that most people never recover from. He's 7 foot tall nearly, and that causes a lot of the problems. He's in his 30s. That's young, but it ain't when you're an athlete. That's getting old when you're. And so he comes back. He hadn't played basketball in 500 days. He comes back. The team's going through all kind of drama. They're down by 20. In the second half, he just puts the team on his back. And they fight through this. They come back, and he does it. He scores a ton of points, but he also has a bunch of assists. He's got his teammates. Everybody around him is better, and he just wheels them back himself. And I'm over here just, you know, I'm into it. I'm waiting on every play. If I was watching it, I would be, you know how it is. Ought not the people of God in the kingdom feel that much more when we see one another operate in faith in the midst of tribulation? Why is it that we can be so carnal to be inspired by an athlete do that in a competitive game and not be moved by our brothers and sisters in Christ in the midst of tribulation? It ought to do something to you. And when it does, go tell them. When it does, go tell them. Don't hold it in. If it's doing something for you, then you return that back to them and tell them what it's doing. Because to them, it's encouragement. To them, it's encouragement. So we got to encourage, and we got to be, yeah, encourage is more than just sending a card, but you got to be spiritual enough to know it's got to be authentic. Fake encouragement ain't going to help nobody. Then you're just being fake. But you got to, when you're really moved by their faith and it's authentic and genuine and organic and you begin to tell them how you benefit from that, that is the spiritual encouragement. So we got to help carry weight. We got to encourage. Number three, we got to be thankful for them. Be thankful. Verse 9, for what thanks can we render to God again for you? Paul is thankful for them. That don't sound like much, but you know that's important, right? You know that's important. How many of y'all have pouted because you feel like nobody appreciated you? Probably everybody in the room. At some point, you felt like somebody didn't appreciate you. Feel like our husbands don't, and our wives don't, and our boss man, he don't appreciate it. He don't appreciate it, does he, Jacob? No. People, we know how we feel when we don't feel appreciated. And we know how we feel when we do feel appreciated. Paul is over here nonstop. I am so thankful for you. I'm so thankful for what God is doing in you. They're over here in hard times and true. It ain't like they just bestowed all these blessings upon him. And he said, look, they're over here in hard times. He's trying to minister to them, but he can't help but be so thankful for them. Look, when you know that I really appreciate you, it don't just make you feel better. It's good for your faith. When the body of Christ appreciates and is thankful for what God is doing, when we can recognize what God is doing in us, in one another, and we can value that and express that, it is good and healthy for our faith. You find somebody whose faith is struggling in a hard time. You go to them and help carry a little bit of weight. And you go to them and encourage them. And you go to them and let them know just how much you appreciate them. It does more than make them feel better. It edifies their faith. We got to appreciate one another. We got to appreciate one another. You ain't got to like me, but you got to appreciate me. We got to appreciate one another. I got to appreciate you. Not just because of your personality, but because we got the same God doing the same works in you and I at the same time. And we got to appreciate that. So number three, we got to be thankful. We got to appreciate one another. Number four, we got to try to be near. We got to quit trying to do ministry at a distance all the time. Look at verse 10. night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. He said, I'm praying that I might see your face. It ain't good enough just to communicate from a long distance. He said, I want to see you face to face. You hear what he's saying? I want to see you face to face. Paul's saying, virtual church is all right. But what I've been fasting and praying for is I need to be near you. I need to be near you. I need to see your face. And if I'm going to edify your faith in the midst of your tribulation, it is done best when I'm near you. When I'm near you. Ain't it? We got to. The church has tried to accomplish ministry so many times at a distance. We'll say the right things. We'll send them on. It's easy to write a check real quick. It's easy to say a quick prayer. It's easy to give them a word. But if I've got to get real near you, that's going to take some time. And it may be a little uncomfortable because we got different personalities. And so I'd rather just find a way to minister to you without being close to you. People, sometimes we do that, right? Without realizing it, we do that. We do that. I don't want to talk on the phone every night and really be relational and get near, but I'm going to pray for you. You count on that. I'm going to pray for you every morning and every evening. But as long as it don't require that I have to get near, we do that sometimes. We want to accomplish kingdom work, but ain't got time for one another. We got time to be near and hear you out and hear what you're feeling and hear what you're going through. You know? If you're ever a pastor, you would really understand this. You know? Sometimes you get so tempted to not be near just to do the ministry and send them on. You know what I mean? I'm being transparent with you tonight, you know. Sometimes you're going to have to get near somebody that had it not been for the Lord and the common gospel and what God's doing in you, you wouldn't be near them, you know. But when you're invested in their faith, you're going to have to get near them. One reason why the church ain't always good at getting near one another is because we ain't invested in each other's faith. That's one of my problems with megachurch. You know, everybody rolling, and some of them have programs that are really good. I'm talking about the ones that don't, the people that just roll in, they get them a good song and sermon, turn around and leave, and don't talk to nobody, And church just wasn't meant to be that way. We're going to have to be near each other some. And when you see somebody struggling in their faith in a tribulation, sometimes what they need is for you to go to them. I've learned that. Sometimes just a simple visit has meant more to some people than whatever check you could write them. They've heard by every other person, I'm praying for you over there. It's just the first eight never come by them, never come near them. You know? You send a balloon and card to the nursing home, you can do that, you know? And that'll make them feel, but nothing like going and sitting with them and being near them. You talk about Jimmy Dean Miller. You know how God did a work in him? Yet one way he did it is that old hard shell began to soften up, but it took some, it wasn't done at a distance now. It was knocking on a door and getting greeted with a double barrel shotgun under your left eyeball. And then going back again. That's how it started. I'm praying for you would have never got it. Never. Never would it have worked. But coming back again in a visit, just getting near, it began. Of course, the gospel, but coming with such nearness to the gospel began to awaken something. Do you understand? Sometimes you got to get near them. In the midst of their tribulation, you got to get near them. Is that clear enough? Did we anchor that point? Number five. This is so simple. But at the same time, it ain't. Look at verse 10. Night and day praying. We got to pray. Look, you do hands-on ministry, you do relational ministry, you get near them, you appreciate them, you encourage them, you carry some of their weight, but you got to pray. You got to pray. And look at what Paul said. Paul's either a liar, which none of us in here believe because he's under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. He's either a liar or dramatic, or this dude really is spending hours in prayer, praying day and night. Now, he don't even know. It's more than that. Night and day, praying exceedingly. What does that even mean? Like, exceedingly praying night and day. It's one thing to pray daily, to pray during the day, to pray through the night, but now we're going to pray night and day, exceedingly, surpassingly. Do you understand the amount of prayer that Paul put into ministry? He prayed for them. He prayed for them. He didn't mention them in prayer. He labored in intercession for them. There's a big difference. He didn't mention them in prayer. He labored in intercession for them. Day and night and night and day, he prayed continuously. Pray ye one for another. Pray without ceasing. Paul prayed for them. And when you begin to do that, when you begin to pray night and day, and then you go get near them, by the time you've prayed night and day for them, now you're beginning to value their faith in their tribulation. Now you begin to get real thankful. If you wonder why, if you'd be real honest with God, why you don't really thank the Lord and really value a lot of other people's faith, maybe had you prayed night and day for them for a while, you would. Maybe the fact that we did at best mention somebody in prayers and wonder why we don't value their faith in their tribulation. That's why. If all we do is at best mention them in prayers, then you're probably never going to really value what God's doing in them. But when you have invested the daylight and the night watches upon your bed, when you've invested that type of time in prayer for somebody, then I want to tell you something. Joy will rise up inside of you when you begin to see their faith working and leaning on the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of their tribulation, and you're going to get real grateful for what God is doing in them, and you will be thankful for them in the midst of their tribulation when you pray day and night. Does that make sense? And you'll know how to help carry their weight. And when you've prayed that much for them, I guarantee you, you will have the unction and ability and strength to carry whatever weight they got. The greatest encouragers are the ones who come from the prayer chamber. The most thankful people, especially for others, are the ones who come from the prayer chamber. That those who are able to carry other people's weight in the midst of their tribulation and edify their faith are those who spent time in the prayer closet. Those who have a desire to go get near and not just minister conveniently at a distance are the ones who really prayed for them. If you really prayed for them for days, you don't want to minister at a distance. You want to get in there with them. You want to go find them. You want to go to them when you've really been praying for them. My God, I'm preaching this to me too. It's raising a standard, right? And number six, and this is right there with them all. We could preach this point just as dogmatically as the others. Number six, look at verse 11. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way into you. You need to not only pray for them, but you need to pray that God will lead you in ministry. Do you hear what he's saying? Like, if I see you over there struggling, your faith is struggling in the midst of a hard time, you're going through something. What I need to do is I need to pray for you exceedingly, begin to press in and intercede and pray for you, and then I need to stop and pray that God will lead me to you, that will direct me in ministry to you, how, what to say, how to say it, what to do, how to perceive, how to discern. I need to be praying that God will direct every word I speak, every emotion I feel, every thought I think, every action my body makes, every joint that bends. I need to pray that he will direct me in every bit of that in ministry to you. Pray for you. Pray that God will direct me. Pray for you. Pray that God will direct me. And then on my way there, I'll begin to appreciate and be thankful. I'll be able to encourage with words that will edify your faith. I'll be able to carry your weight, and I will have a desire to be near you in your tribulation. And the result of all that is that person's faith will. And look, this is important because I know folks that'll ask you to pray for their kid, but they've already grown weary in praying for their own. You know what I mean? Or they'll want you to pray for somebody when they themselves ain't even really spending, at best, they just mention them in a prayer. They ain't getting near them. They're trying to minister from a distance. And I know this in ministry. Hey, would you pray? I got a buddy that's going through this, and I need you to pray for him. Okay, I will. And truth be told, a lot of times, they don't know nothing about praying day and night for them. And they ain't tried to carry the weight, and they've not tried to get near them. At best, they just hope that they make it through it and ask somebody else to do the labor and pray and go. We're bad about doing that sometimes, ain't we? So we need to be led in ministry. You know that? We got to be led. We need direction. We need direction. And that's what he says, that the Lord would direct our way into you. Take us there. Guide us. Lead us through this ministry. So I think that what God is doing, in closing, God is preparing us for some tribulation that's coming. A common tribulation. And in the midst of that, you and I will go through our own specific battles, you know, that may not look nothing like one another's. They may produce the same feelings, but be totally different circumstances. And there's some things that God wants us to be aware of concerning our faith in the midst of what we're going to go through. Preparing us for that, but he's also preparing us to minister to others that will be going through these things all at the same time. And you understand, when all this begins to harmonize, it is going to be absolutely gorgeous. When my praying day and night for you, but yet I'm in tribulation too, and you doing it for me, and when God begins to flow that way through you and I, and God is leading me to you and you to me, and he begins to all this harmony, and it begins to come together, it's going to be beautiful, and it's going to be so glorifying to him. That's the way he's going to do it. That's the way he's going to do it. And I am thankful. Is anybody thankful that God's this God, that he'll give you a word on the front end, not just the back end? Ain't you glad? Sometimes you don't know what he's doing, and when you've about given up, he'll give you a word. But I want to tell you something. That generally ain't the way he does it. Usually he gives you a word prior to it, and you've already forgot about it by the time you go through it. And it's on us. He's been trying to get us ready. You've heard me say before, God made the grass before he ever made the cow. When you read Genesis, he did. Everything the cow would ever need, he had already made it before the cow got there. And if he'll do that for a cow, don't you know that God has already provided everything you're going to need, and many times he's given you a word in advance for whatever you're going to go through. It's just a lot of times we don't listen to it unless we're already going through it. I don't need it right now. Wait till I'm there, God. I ain't going to listen with acuteness and be really tuned in, because this don't seem real relevant to me today, because everything's hunky-dory for me. A lot of times God's preparing us, you know. He's making the grass before he makes the cow. And so God's getting ready to make us edifiers of faith, where we would guard and fight for our own and strengthen others. God is doing that work in us. Tribulation's coming. It's coming. But God is so invested into our faith. These last two or three Wednesdays, God is still doing that. He's investing into our faith. He's speaking to us about our faith and about one another's. We're all in this together. Amen. God bless you. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you tonight. Lord, I pray, God, that we would be invested in our faith, Lord. And I pray that we would be invested in the faith of our brothers and sisters, God. Lord, do a work in us, God. We know, God, we know, God, that our faith is the most valuable thing we got, Lord. Lord, I have so many things in life I don't want to lose. I don't want to lose. And the things that, Lord, I seem to value the most, God, I can lose them and still know you and still be with you and even be with them. But God, I can't lose my faith. That's the one thing I cannot lose. I cannot lose my faith, God. And we know, God, that the elect even, God, in the last days, even the elect, if you didn't tarry, you're coming. So God, we thank you for faith. We thank you're invested in our faith. Strengthen it, God. Awaken our faith. Strengthen it, God. I pray, Lord, that it would multiply and grow and be strong. And Lord, I pray, God, that it would also produce a love that would be sensitive to other people's faith in this tribulation, the days that lie ahead. God, we love you so much. God, we have confidence in you. God, I feel security. I feel secure and strong in you tonight, God. Knowing, Lord, that not only are you invested in my spiritual well-being, my faith, God, you surround me with people that it's their calling to be invested in my spiritual well-being as well. God, I am covered on every side. I got angels, God, that are assigned to me, God. Lord, I am surrounded. God, how can I fail with all that you've surrounded me with? We will overcome. Somebody say amen. We will overcome in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you. You're dismissed.